Council Leadership Committee to order. All right, let's start with introductions. Ed Chinney, co-chair.
Thomas Noble, government co-chair.
Oh, Gwen Smith, council member. I'm looking at the agenda.
Ron Hernandez, committee member.
Cassie Run, council member.
Melina Clark, council staff.
David Jordan, council staff.
Michelle Spence, council member.
Elaine Flores.
All right. And with that, thank you all. If you would take a moment to look at the September 12th draft agenda.
Is Javon here today?
Javon is not here today. He's actually, if you see on the agenda, he's not being interviewed until next month.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
He was not available for today's time and date.
Any changes?
Are we doing the exit interview for this hall too, or is it just Linda?
It's just Paige, right?
Is it only for Linda?
I don't think we've got Linda.
Yeah, just Liz.
And we just had another member come in. If you would give your name and smile.
I'm Paul Soto, council member.
Is it?
And if there are no changes or objections to the agenda, I move that we approve by acclamation. Hearing none, agenda approved. If you can now look at item 3, the August 8th agenda.
Minutes.
Minutes, excuse me. We're just looking over the minutes from the August 8th meeting.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Are there any changes, corrections, additions to the August 8th minutes? If not, approve them by acclamation. Is there no objection? Minutes are approved. Moving on, announcements.
I'm afraid ironically I need to leave early. Sorry.
Well, hopefully it'll be a short meeting.
Yeah, that's... I hope I don't actually have to leave while I'm still going.
Any other announcements?
People leaving at HIV and AIDS's meeting on September 18th from 3 to 5, same room.
Okay.
Having a meeting September 18th, same room, same place. So please attend.
Any other announcements? If not, I see no public for comment, so we're moving down. If you could look at the needs assessment recommendations, we need to do a vote on that.
So the recommendations are largely intact from the presentation of the last full council. There were a couple of additional sentences added to points 1 and 4 from council affairs last week. No, earlier this week.
Tuesday.
Earlier this week. It all blends together. Though they did not have quorum, so these are recommendations, so you would need to get motion and vote this into a motion coming from you guys to steering. Or actually from you guys to PLWH. PLWH is before steering, so they would get a crack at editing anything that comes from you guys before it goes to steering. So the additional sentences are there in bold. And if you have any questions about why those changes were made or anything, happy to answer them to the best of my ability.
Was there any specific collaboration strategies with the Department of Aging and Adult Services?
So, Eric Sutter, who is the co-chair of community engagement, is going to be meeting with somebody from DAS on Friday for what seemed like it might have been an unrelated issue, but also going to sort of be discussing with them, potentially bringing somebody in to present to the council. I think the big reason that, and I don't know if any of you were there at that meeting, I think Thomas was, at community engagement. Initially, this fourth recommendation was sort of an addendum as a moving forward for the community engagement committee more than it was a recommendation from the needs assessment, but it was steering felt that this should be added as an actual recommendation. But the issue was that around the table, people felt like there was a lack of information about what resources were available for seniors, and that it was challenging to make a recommendation for the things that the council has purview over without actually knowing what is out there externally.
Okay.
And so that's the intention of meeting with somebody from DAS and then also potentially getting a presentation, whether that is just a presentation at community engagement or for the full council, I think it still remains to be seen. Additionally, we're looking to... So historically, some of you who... Is everyone here former care people, except for Thomas?
Or newer members.
Or newer members. Well, but I mean, even Michelle was a former care person.
That's right.
So historically, the Care Council had a sort of member swap happening with the LTCCC. And so they had a member sitting on our council, and we had a member sitting on their council. The member who was sitting on our council retired, and they chose not to replace her. And then the member that was sitting on their council passed away, and we have not really managed to sort of develop effective communication with them to get that going. So I think the intention there is to see if we can get some ongoing collaboration with them.
Are there any questions about any of the other recommendations on the page?
Can I just ask what the acronym LTCCCC?
Long-Term Care Coordinating Council. And they had previously had an ongoing work group specifically devoted to better understanding sort of aging needs and that sort of that stuff. But it's unclear if that's still going on. I know that there were a couple council members who were taking part in that. I think Ken Pierce maybe was taking part in that. Ken Hornby, who was the member who passed away, unfortunately, and there's one other person who was a part of that. But I don't think they are anymore. So.
But there's still a group of the HIV people living with HIV and AIDS in the DAS, right?
In DAS? Seen by
DAS? There is a committee on long-term care coordination with people living with HIV. I think there's a committee there.
That's what I'm saying. I think that there was. I'm not sure if it's still ongoing and who's taking part in it. I don't know if the people who had been are still currently taking part.
I don't think it's on our council. I think it's Vincent and Greg.
Greg?
Yeah,
Castle?
Craig, yeah.
Okay, so we just heard from Vincent 2 months ago, a month ago. In any case, this is sort of as of ongoing work. This, I think that the number four here is basically the intention is to state that the Community Engagement Committee will make its sort of ongoing work for at least the next year to develop at least an understanding of what the sort of support capacity is that exists within the city and be able to figure out where we fit in and what sort of our intersections are.
Completing that linkage link to know what they provide, what's out there for our members, and what we can do to help encourage and support that. Are there any other questions? Do I hear a motion?
Is this coming from that?
Yeah, we have to vote on this,
yeah,
and pass it on.
I mean,
and it goes to the next process.
I move to go the next process.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second motion. Thank you. All right. We'll vote. All in favor? Please raise your hand.
Oh, we actually need to do a roll call.
Oh, it's a roll call vote. Oh, sorry.
What is the favorite one?
Oh,
where are the funds? Where are people going to get the funds for that?
I mean, case management, mental health services, and
like unspent funds or something,
and emergency funds from
first
one.
Clarify that, right? Prioritization of one-time emergency funds.
Not fully. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it looks like we're going to try and prioritize some amount of money from what is going to emergency financial assistance currently that's already been budgeted. So including that carry forward money, the additional carry forward money they were given earlier this year or budgeted earlier this year.
No new additional funds.
There are no new additional funds. So the language in this is sort of carefully walking the line to sort of presume that we are not, we're not taking money away ideally, but we're not seeing, there's no new money being developed around this, although there are potential sources for some of these other things from Part B or some of the other new funding opportunities that are upcoming in the next year that I know that Dean and everyone are working on developing
the
response.
And the HIV epidemic?
HIV and yeah, all of that stuff.
Yeah, there are several funding
things
that have come up. It's a good time in that sense.
So that there was conversation at the last committee meeting about maybe some of that stuff can potentially be steered in that direction, but it's unclear as of right now. So that's the sort of the language is if new funds develop, then this is how they will potentially be prioritized. For number one, it is potentially just sort of earmarking money from that larger pool of AIDS emergency funds, emergency financial assistance money, to go towards durable medical goods. similar to how we what we've done in the past around insurance premium payments, sort of, and rental, like
rental
like,
subsidies?
Yeah, like rental subsidies and stuff. Meaning that if it is not used, it will go back into the larger pool potentially. It is unclear. I think the big conversation about this was how do we make it, how do we disseminate that information effectively to both consumers and service providers that this is something that is available? Because this is not something that has been available. There have been sort of different places that have potentially been a source of monies for things like eyeglasses or additional dental care. And so this would be sort of put into that. But it's not going to get used if people don't know about it. So how do we make sure that people know about it and it's actually being accessed? Yes?
Is it going to go to certain COEs, or is everybody going to get a piece of the pie?
It's not going to any COEs.
It's not?
This is going through emergency financial assistance.
AIDS emergency fund.
Well, technically, we're not supposed to talk about agencies.
Yeah.
So, and the COEs are kind of agencies, too.
Yeah.
But it's whoever administers emergency financial assistance in the city, and there aren't very many providers at this time.
Yeah.
Well, we know who the biggest one is.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so I think that is the, it's sort of a two-part thing, is the will to set aside that money for this particular concern, and then also to disseminate that information effectively so that people are able to access it. As it is right now for emergency financial assistance, there's a cap, and for some of these larger things, that cap is well below what is the total cost for some of these items. So there's also conversation about how do we address that? How do we make additional monies available beyond that cap, if possible? So, ongoing.
Is it a thought to get, the agency to dole out their money, is it a idea or a thought somewhere down the line to contact all the agencies that deal with people living with HIV and AIDS and have them talk to their clients?
I think the place that we're starting is that the agency that administers the sort of largest chunk of emergency financial assistance would potentially roll out a training through FOG to disseminate that information to service providers, and then also disseminate that information to medical service providers who provide dental services or eyeglass services or audiology services, so that they would be aware that there's a potential financial aid support.
Not meaning to be a nudge, but would you like to continue this conversation and suspend the vote when we're about to do the roll call vote?
Yes.
Or would we like to proceed with the vote?
Yeah, we were already actually on vote. We finished discussion.
Yeah.
But we kind of started discussion.
But
again.
It started discussion again. And
so
Ms. Billy just came in, so I didn't want to.
You can call the question and we'll vote right
now.
Yeah,
I noticed
like.
When I ask questions, you always seem to giggle or have. You know, I don't get that. That really hurts me, and I just want to say that to you. I got one out, but I notice you all the time. Whenever I ask the question or make a thought, you always giggle like it's funny. But my HIV/AIDS and my sisters and the community is not funny. So I just want to say that to you, because I don't think there's any privilege here at this table. So I just want to say that to you.
Oh no, what I was.
I'm just letting you know what I see. Well, I don't know what y'all said, but it always seems to happen right after I make a comment. And that really is disparaging and it hurts me,
okay. You
know. And it happened a few times, and I'm really thinking about getting off the council because of that, you know, because that's a form of transgender segregation, I think. So if you're going to giggle before you come in the room or when you leave the room. Don't giggle in the room.
Okay.
So, because I think...
Point taken.
Yes.
But what I was talking about is we were in the middle of a vote and you came in and you had questions.
Well,
so
you,
I was asking
it wasn't
to
funny.
Suspend the vote I said, I don't know what to do. We don't have a parliamentarian. Should I?
No, you giggle, darling. You giggle. You both giggle.
Well, he was trying to figure out. I appreciate your comments, Billy. Thank you for your feedback. And that being said, are we voting or not? I'm not quite sure.
Did we want to continue with the discussion or go on with the vote?
JP, you had a hand before
It was going back to, I mean, I didn't say anything before. We just moved to vote. That's fine.
Ed Chitty?
Yes.
Billy Cooper?
Yes.
Elaine Flores?
Yes.
Ron Hernandez?
Yes.
Gwen Smith?
Yes.
Michelle Spence?
Yes.
John Paul Soto?
Yes.
Motion carries. Oh, sorry. Charles Cerrone?
I got a clarification. This is just a recommendation. This is a recommendation from the need assessment, right? But it can also be another recommendation from anyone in the committee that this bullet point can change, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys, you can make parallel motions if you want to do something completely separate from this that is sort of along the lines of this, but you can also vote to make an addendum to what is already existing. But the process is that, yes, it goes through all committees.
And the process is going to be, next is people doing with HIV
PLWH names. And then steering.
And then steering.
And then it will be voted on at the summit.
Yes. My vote would be yes.
Okay. And Thomas Noble?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next on the agenda, moving down, would be the resource allocation. And I think we've gone over this multiple times before in the past.
Well, we do it once a year.
Yeah. We do.
And it hasn't changed. Substantively since ACA rollout, and that the only real change there was the piece about the essential health benefits package. Does anybody have any questions about what that is inclusive of?
So can we just go in scenario of increased funding just for, just to recap everybody's memory? Let's go by line by line.
Do you want to vote individually? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Do you want to discuss it individually?
Discuss
or do you
individually.
Want to vote them?
Discuss it individually. So just to remind new council member and what is the definition of increased funding, flat funding, in layman's term.
I don't know. Beth, would you like to address this? I feel like this is...
And yeah, just jump in, anybody, if I've missed something. So in the event that the Ryan White Part A essentially is what this is talking about, but in the event of increased funding, the council will reconvene to discuss this scenario, so to decide how to spend the funding if our Ryan White Part A goes up, which it hasn't in very many years, but it always could. They could change the formula allocation. And there's two parts. There's the formula allocation, and then there's the grant score part. We always do well on that, though, so there's not a lot of room for improvement. In terms of flat funding, if the grant comes in at exactly the same number of dollars, like dollar for dollar, if funding remains at the current level, service category resource allocation will remain level across categories, so nothing would be changed. In the event of decreased funding, which is somewhat likely, we usually get some modest decreases. For the first 10% of reductions, allocation for services that are covered under California's Essential Benefits Health Package will be reduced proportionately. If further reduced allocation is required, reductions will occur proportionally across all service categories. So there's kind of a lot there, but the first 10%, so if say the grant was $100,000, if it went beyond $90,000, more than $10,000 was taken away, then we would take that away from the things that are covered by insurance. So primary care, some mental health, things that you can get through insurance if you have insurance, which a lot of our clients do. If the cut was even deeper than 10%, then it would cut into the rest of the things too proportionally.
So, the health benefits package specifically is primary medical care, mental health services, pharmaceuticals, medical case management, and substance abuse counseling. So those are the things that are covered on that were covered under Medicare expansion.
And it's also my understanding from previous discussions on this that in the event that there is a serious reduction or even a minor reduction, you can discuss it again at that point too. You don't have to go with what you recommend now. This is just what we ultimately include in the grant application to say how we would handle it if the occasion occurred. But it is guidance for you then if it does occur as well.
Hey, go ahead.
But the reality is that we usually do get decreased funding, but we've been really lucky to get backfills from the Board of Supervisors, so it's considered flat by the end of the day, right?
That is exactly what I was going to say is that, and if and when we the council affairs committee had a preview of the service summary sheets presentation that we're going to be getting at the summit, and when you look at that, you'll see the sort of percentages that are coming from general fund, which are sort of increasing year over year. So yes,
that's true. I highlighted part A because this is part of the part A application, but it is managed jointly across the two funding sources, and that makes it stable.
Charles, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Do you guys want to vote as a slate, or do you want to vote individually?
Move to vote as a slate.
As a slate?
Okay, so, sorry, Charles moves in 2 seconds?
Yes.
JP?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Ed Chitty?
Yes.
Billy Cooper?
Can I get a little more clarity?
Yeah. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, you talked about a big sum of money, then you mentioned $10,000.
Oh, yeah, I was giving sort of a concrete example of what the 10% reduction is, because our grant is, let's use a more realistic example. Let's call it $10 million. I don't think it is anymore, but if it were $10 million, so a 10% reduction would be more than $1 million cut. So it's a pretty big cut. We're not too likely to get to that scenario, but it's always possible. So the first $1 million essentially of our grant that's cut would be cut from things that are also insurable. And then beyond the $1 million, it would be cut across everything proportionally. I think the proportion is 10%, 15%.
But to tell our endo, how much money are we talking about?
I think we're probably talking about it's around $10 million now, and it will hopefully be around $10 million again. So it won't be much different.
So voting yes would get the money.
No, not exactly. The whatever way you vote or want to propose, it probably will be okay in the grant application, and the amount of money is separately determined, but
I want to vote for the money.
This is not a vote for or against the money. This
So basically, we put in a grant application, which we describe the needs in San Francisco and what we do, like the program we do, and also what the council, how we direct the funding currently.
Right.
And also, this is how we would, if we had a major change in funding, how we would handle that, or how we think we would handle that scenario in the council's direction.
Right.
And so we're saying, if you as the federal government cut us, we're going to take money away from things that people with insurance could access and as a first step. And then if you take a lot of money from us, we're going to take away from all of our service categories are going to feel it to some extent. So we just want to make it real to them what happens if we get a funding reduction. So it's we're kind of trying to paint the picture of what we'll lose in San Francisco.
A double-edged sword.
Yeah, but it shouldn't too directly impact how much we get, because formulas and scores on mostly other parts of the grant application affect that. It's more making it tangible how we would have to handle it as opposed to just abstract figures.
I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Elaine Flores?
Yes.
Ron Hernandez?
Yes.
Gwen Smith?
Yes.
Michelle Spence?
Yes.
John Paul Soto?
Yes.
Charles Cerrone?
Yes. Sorry.
It's okay. Thomas Noble?
I'm going to have to abstain.
Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving down to 9. Demographics, yes.
Yeah. So we added a couple new, three new people. Three new people as of last meeting. So that does affect our overall number of non-aligned consumers because none of them were non-aligned consumers. So beyond that, and although you'll see that we are two people potentially in the pipeline who are non-aligned consumers, so we're seeking to address that. Where we are short on is sort of our where we continue to be short on non-aligned consumers, Latinx, youth, and that is, I believe, it.
I'm sorry, what was that? Youth and what?
Latinx, youth, and non-aligned consumers. Javon, who is up for interview next month, is he's not a non-aligned consumer. He's aligned service provider as of right now. So that he will also affect that, but he will help some of our youth numbers potentially, or sort of that middle. I mean, I think that we also need to recognize that, like, when we talk about youth, it's also representation of, like, service providers who are working in youth. It counts within that, even if it doesn't get reflected on this demographic sheet. But even that is challenging. Like, I don't think we have had anyone from Larkin in a number of years.
There's someone who used to work there until recently.
Yes. But we are looking to recruit, that ZERV 0 to 24 is always going to be a challenging bracket to fill. I don't know what you guys were like at 23, but I did.
It's also the new EPI report came out this year, and there are fewer new infections, and there are fewer new infections among youth, and it already is a population of around 100 who's aging.
Yeah.
So it's going to get only harder and harder to recruit in this population, because it's not a very big one, and we very recently diagnosed, so probably not on the advocacy phase.
What's up? They are, and so is Javon.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying, so they'll help us with that 25 to 44, which is a really large group, but what they're really helping us with is that 25 to 35, which is also very important, and we have been fairly underrepresented in that population as well. I think this is, when you look at 25 to 44, we are basically exactly at the number, but if you broke it down further between 25 to 35, I think you would see that we are actually, up until maybe recently, we have been fairly far below the number, but with the addition of Antoine and Nay and
Alexandria.
I was thinking there was somebody else who was also on the younger side that we added recently, but I digress. In any case, though it's not totally evident by the sort of structure of this report, that is a thing that we should consider a success. For me, looking at Latinx is an area where we've lost a few people recently, and we need to address that soon. So, I know that for me it will be a priority, and as council members, you are sort of the ambassadors community, so feel free to join us in that.
At the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, they have a fabulous group called El Grupo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically for people living with HIV and AIDS and family members and allies. So I would say coming to the foundation, talking to Jorge at the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, and setting up a presentation in English and have someone there to translate in Spanish or Spanish and English. Yeah, I would dare to say they might really be.
Yeah.
Yes, right up there in 1035 Market.
There are a few different places that I think that we should prioritize doing some outreach to that population.
Ella De La Rosa at 25th and Mission, that place.
Anything else?
Thank you, David. as we move down council member attendance.
Yeah. So the only thing really notable there is we do have Jack Bowman continuing to be on LOA. We don't have a renewal for Orrin Allen, but I would maybe suggest we give him a little bit of a grace period there, just because he just came back from an LOA, and the committee that he would ordinarily attend was canceled this month, so he didn't have an opportunity to just meet with us. So maybe we can table that for next month. And we'll do our best to get a renewal form from him for you guys to look at. Or a new application. And then you've got your exit interview from Liz Hall.
Which one is Liz Hall?
She's a Part B representative from Sacramento. Show up every
State office week.
Oh, should always come down.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes on the phone. Oh.
But we just voted in somebody for that position, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alexandria.
So Linda Winnebago is leaving.
Linda left.
Yeah.
I got 9.5
Oh, this is something you sent.
Already? Yeah, we'll send it out.
So they don't bring their body here.
It's just like the paper.
Yeah.
Are we talking about demographic or are we done?
Sorry, let's
hold
it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Digest them and learn from them. Internalize the messages and move on with the lessons learned. Ideally.
Is going to be interviewed in October.
Yes. So I'm going to hand this out to you guys. Turn those around. So I presume that he was recruited by TJ Lee.
I think Irma as well.
Or maybe Irma, yeah. I haven't had a chance to talk to so his references are TJ Irma and Talia Rovin. I did talk to Talia. She texted me when I think she helped him sort of with the application a little bit. So I've confirmed that reference there. I plan to talk to TJ and Irma at the summit and just quickly check in about his application, see if they have anything to say. But I am actually pretty excited to see a person with sort of his experiences with incarceration and substance treatment and a lot of the things that we consider severe need and maybe potentially on the other side of some of that. I feel like we have some people who have also experienced that, but it's a voice that we clearly need to focus on more, so this is pretty exciting to me.
I saw TJ yesterday. He told me we should make this meeting so he could, you know, give verbal support to Richard. He is there's nothing but good things.
I spoke with TJ about it recently as well. I've known Richard for a number of years, and I definitely think that it's a voice that we really can use a lot more of, a very specific voice. He has a lot of energy. He's been on a good track. He's very focused. I think as long as we could continue to keep him engaged, he'll be really great.
I think it's familiar sitting in a committee because he is the Hep C committee at the Kinney Hotel. So, he just said something about him. He's capable of he's following a schedule. He's shown some interest in following through. I think we'll be meeting to City College. Of course, there is something. So,
does he fall into demographics?
Non-aligned consumer. What?
No,
so you're looking at me like you had a question.
No, I was thinking that he was a consumer of services, but he's not aligned.
I think he also works for NFQHC.
He volunteers.
Oh, okay.
So a volunteer does not make you sort of an aligned consumer. If he was a paid staff member, then he
also
would
no financial alignment. Got it.
That's the important one. So, yeah.
So he's an non-aligned.
He is a non-aligned consumer, yes. And I'm also trying to recruit one of the panelists from, maybe two of the panelists from last month's meeting, and they are both non-aligned consumers, so.
In that case,
but he does good services.
Yes, yeah. Demographics.
So he's a consumer.
Yeah.
Oh, and he lists a couple of places he's a consumer.
Yeah, forensic.
Yeah.
So far, I know more